You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
50 million Americans suffer from it, and hundreds of thousands of Canadians complain about it, but nobody seems to know what to do about it. Clinics have been set up to study the problem at such prestigious institutions as Harvard University and Stanford University, and over 100 other places around the country. And the problem they are studying is this: insomnia, or the inability to sleep at night. Every night, millions of people toss and turn endlessly in their bed, and others stare helplessly at the ceiling. The experts who have studied the problem have come up with many different and even conflicting theories as to why some people do not sleep at night. Nevertheless, these same experts at least agree on one thing: sleeplessness is not really the problem. It is only a symptom of the problem. Sleeplessness is actually the result of a deeper difficulty, such as an emotional problem, or stress, or medical problems, or simply not getting up or not going to bed at the same time every morning and every evening. And, of course, realizing how widespread the problem of sleeplessness is in our society, it is no wonder that we become very interested to learn why the psalmist in the Bible was able to say with such confidence, "I will both lie down and I will sleep in peace." And isn't this also what you would like to say when somebody asks you, "How did you sleep last night?" Wouldn't you like to say, "I went to bed and I slept in peace"? Of course, no one has all the answers to insomnia, and we on this program don't claim to have all the answers either. Certain sleep disorders are the result of medical problems which are far beyond the scope of this program. Nevertheless, today we want to invite you to prayerfully consider why the psalmist was able to say with such confidence, "In peace," he said, "I'm going to lie down and I am going to sleep." And isn't it true that so often when we go to bed, the reason that you and I may not sleep is not because we are not tired. We are extremely tired. We are physically worn out. In fact, sometimes we feel like an absolute wreck. But our problem is often in another area. Our mind doesn't want to quit. That's it, our mind. We can't seem to get our mind to stop thinking of all kinds of past conflicts and family difficulties and challenges of life. And sometimes the events of the day get us so upset that we replay the events in our minds in bed at night, word for word and blow by blow. And then, of course, as if this isn't enough, the devil often comes to us at night and tempts our minds to think, "What is so-and-so saying about me?" Or, "What does this group or that individual think about me?" And, "What is my boss at the office thinking about me?" And as a result, when we get up in the morning, we look as if we have not slept at all. If you have ever experienced a night like this, then maybe it makes sense when we are asking you to consider why the psalmist spoke with such confidence when he said that when he goes to bed, he intends to sleep in peace. Now let's make no mistake. The psalmist surely had his own problems in life. In fact, it is even possible that he had more problems and anxieties than you or I could ever imagine. But the secret comes in how he dealt with his anxieties, both during the day and when he went to bed at night. Relationships. Yes, the psalmist knew what life was all about. Life is essentially one of relationships. But the psalmist did not get his life straightened out by first thinking about his relationship with his wife or his children, or even with the people who worked around him every day. The psalmist knew that if anyone, including you and me, if we are going to get our lives straightened out so that we can live every day and sleep every night in peace, then we must first begin with our relationship with God. And this is where all life begins and where all of life ends. And we can be pretty sure that the psalmist struggled with his own relationship to God. But finally, by the power of the Holy Spirit, he got it right. And we can see this by the words he used to address the Lord. In the first words of our text for today, we hear the psalmist saying, O God of my righteousness. This sounds a little bit unusual, wouldn't you agree, for somebody to call God the God of his righteousness? Yes, this does indeed sound quite peculiar, because the attitude expressed by the psalmist is also very different from what most people would say today. When we think of righteousness and sin and God, we automatically think of our own righteousness, and we hope that God will accept us on our own terms, on our own self-righteousness, even though we know it is far from what God expects. And, of course, when we begin to talk about our own righteousness, this creates a lot of uncertainty in our hearts. It adds to the stress and the pressure of our mind and our soul, and it surely disturbs also our subconscious. And it most certainly contributes to many sleepless nights for scores of people. And so let me explain in a very practical way what this all means. Last year, a major magazine did a survey of what people today believe about God and about heaven and about hell. 90% of the people said that they believed in God. But many of these same people confessed that they felt that their chances of getting to heaven were only good to at best fair. They were not sure that the life they were living was going to be good enough in order to get them through the doors of heaven. And, of course, this all stems from the fact that these people were obviously concerned about their own righteousness or their own self-righteousness. They were obviously not focusing in on the righteousness of God, because if they would have been, they could surely have said, "Yes, surely I am going to be in heaven when I die, because my salvation does not depend on my own inadequate self-righteousness, but upon the perfect and the adequate righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ." And so now I hope it makes more sense as to why the psalmist did not say, O Lord, answer me when I call, because I am righteous. No, he didn't say that. In sincere repentance, the psalmist confessed that he knew that it was the other way around. And so with a repentant heart, he addressed the Lord and he said, O God of my righteousness. Yes, the psalmist called God his righteousness. And he did this because this is the very heart of the gospel of God. This is why many great hymn writers talk about Jesus Christ as being our righteousness. You and I will be damned to hell if we try to appear before God, sporting and displaying our own self-righteousness or our religiosity. But if we reject all thoughts of our own merits and instead cling by faith to the holy and the perfect and the pure righteousness that God gives us through Jesus, then you and I can be assured of heaven. And we can live with less anxieties every day, and we can go to bed with fewer worries every night. From our text for today, we can also see that this is one of the major reasons that the psalmist was able to say, In peace, I will both lie down and I will sleep. This gospel, then, expressed by the psalmist, was also explained by the Apostle Paul. In his second letter to the Corinthian church, St. Paul writes, God made Jesus Christ, a man who knew no sin, to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Now let me try to explain this a little bit and make it a little more clear. Even though Jesus was perfect and pure, God declared that his son Jesus was a sinner. And God did this so that you and I might then be declared righteous. So when you, by faith, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, then God the Father, out of his grace and mercy, has Jesus Christ change places with you. That's correct. Jesus changes places with you. And Jesus takes on your sin, and he becomes a sinner, and you take Jesus' place, and you become a saint in God's eyes. Now, don't ask anyone to explain all of this. It can only be attributed to the unsearchable grace and the unexplainable mercy of God, the God Almighty. Indeed, it is, as St. Paul explains, God made Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Oh, wouldn't you agree with me that this is wonderful news, that God has arranged it so that you and I can be at peace with him? You are a sinner, and I am a sinner, but this does not stop God from offering us help and hope and strength and salvation, confident hope during the day, and blessed peace during the night. Oh, I pray that you will receive in your heart this gospel, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and cast all your cares upon God, for he cares for you, and live every day with the complete assurance of total pardon. And then you will be able to go to bed at night, and you will be able to sleep. Yes, you will be able to go to bed at night with the assurance that if your hour of death shall come upon you, you shall awaken in the arms of a merciful and a loving God. This is also the same confidence the psalmist had when he said, I am going to bed and I am going to sleep. Now, while it may not sound all that biblical, there are a few other things that play into our lives every day and into our rest each night. For example, not long ago, the director of the American Institute for Stress, Dr. Paul Roche, stated that our society is totally confused. We've gotten life, he said, turned upside down. And instead of desiring relaxation and tranquility and peace as the most important thing in life, nowadays we want constant stimulation and endless excitement, and we always want to be on some type of high all the time. And if we don't have this, we begin to believe that we are failing in life and that there is something wrong with us. And so maybe it is time for all of us, even for those of us in the church, to listen carefully to the Lord as he speaks through the psalmist when he says, Be still and know that I am God. Indeed, that's going to be a pretty difficult thing to do. Who is going to stand up and to say no to the increasing trend of using the hours on Sunday morning for driving and cruising around, or going shopping instead of going to church? And who is going to have the nerve to turn down or even turn off all the television shows and the sports events on Sunday and on Monday evening? Be still and spend time with me, says the Lord, and know that I am the Lord your God. I will take care of you during the day, and I will then take care of you also for the night, so that then you can say with the psalmist, In peace, I will both lie down and I will sleep. And of course, there is always the pragmatic and the practical part of our present lifestyle. 50 to 60 years ago, the majority of our population was so tired at the end of the day that most people had no problem whatsoever sleeping at night. In fact, the physical requirements of those days were often so intense that most people were grateful that they didn't fall asleep before they went to bed. But today, things are altogether different. Push-button washing machines have replaced the arduous task of running the wringer washer, and push-button drying has replaced all the effort that it took to carry the wet clothes out to the clothesline, to pin them up one by one, and to get them all back into the house again and fold them and put them away. Farmers today have perhaps noticed the greatest change. Large push-button grain augers have replaced back-breaking scoop shovels, and hydraulic power loaders make cleaning the barn a simple job instead of a one- or two-day difficult and distasteful task. And who can forget the millions of blue-collar workers who years ago labored behind horses? Yes, they dug ditches and trenches using picks and shovels. That's all they had, laboring in the intense sun so long that their sweat-drenched clothes made them appear as if they had just come out of a tub of water. Yes, I am sure that there are many of you listening today who remember those days, and you have seen how physical labor has become easier, and you are most grateful for this. But I think you would also agree with me, wouldn't you, that as our daily lives have become less and less physically demanding, our nights in bed have often become more and more of a psychological hell. The night comes and we can't sleep. Mentally, we are worn out, but we cannot relax. We have not done much physical labor. And so this is why it is important for you and me to slow down. Be still, the Lord says, and know that I am God. Indeed, God wants you to spend more time with your family. He doesn't want you to get so wrapped up in yourself that you cannot even relax, and then that you cannot sleep at night. And so if you have been having trouble sleeping, maybe it's time for you to reevaluate your life and also to make some definite changes. Spend more time with your family. Look around you and see how you can help your neighbors. And don't be so self-centered all the time. And become more involved in simple recreation, such as daily walks. And most important, try to spend more time with the Lord, both in church on Sunday and also in your private devotions as you read and study the Bible. And then as you find yourself becoming more and more conformed to the mind of Christ, you are also going to be able to say with a new confidence and an enthusiasm, as the psalmist said, "In peace I will both lie down and I will sleep at night." And all of this will come as a result of the Holy Spirit working in your heart. The Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth, and He will show you how futile it is to even think about your own righteousness. Yes, the Holy Spirit will enable you to reject all useless thoughts of self-righteousness. Throw yourself then at the foot of the cross and look up, my friend, and see your Savior with His arms opened wide, ready to receive you because of His love and His grace and His mercy. And then when you have given up on your own self-righteousness and by faith have grasped unto God, then the Holy Spirit will also enable you to say with the psalmist, "Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast relieved me in my distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. Thou hast put gladness into my heart. In peace I will both lie down and I will sleep. For Thou alone, O Lord, dost make me to dwell in safety." O Lord Jesus Christ, this is our prayer for all those who are listening today, that they might live a joy-filled life during the day, and that they might sleep in peace in You during the night. Amen.